Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. What up, everybody?
What up?
This is episode 289.
289.
Of the most consistent podcast in the area.
Give me a hell yeah.
This is your boy, Buzzby.
And over here is your boy, JC. No head ass.
Ah, boy. What up, everyone? Yeah, we took a week off because life. But we back.
Life. Yes, sir.
The older we get, life keeps on liking. So it is what it is. But we here to give you that good content. So
yeah. Anyway. How you been doing?
I've been working this grave shift and I ain't made shit. That's what's been going on.
Somebody did this.
Singing Kanye, I deserve that. Every time you sing Kanye, you just press that button. Oh, you gonna listen to Kanye? Guess who's going?
Oh no, I was just saying it's because you were part of the chain gang.
Yep. Pretty fucking much. Other than that, I'm good. How the fuck you doing?
I'm doing a whole lot better.
I'm sure.
Yeah, had a little family scare, but everything is good. Copacetic times of five. How do I say it? Copacetic times a few thou wows.
Thou wows. I feel you.
Yeah. Everything's good.
That's good.
No
man.
Complaints there. With that being said, we missed a lot.
I mean,
we got to talk about a lot.
I mean, we can talk about sports, but that's later, and that's by design.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because.
But you know what? It's very important we start this episode off with this.
I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm back.
Right.
And I've been waiting, baby.
It's Black History Month.
That it blickety is.
Black excellence.
Black excellence.
Boy, blickety black excellence. I'm going to tell you this. As soon as it hit February 1st, it seemed like every black superstar wanted to break a record.
Seriously.
So that being said, we're going to start with the Grammys.
Yeah. Well, first things first, shout out to Beyonce.
Absolutely.
She is now the most decorated artist in Grammy history with the most wins.
Give me a hell yeah.
Ever.
How many is it? 20 some of them things?
No way. So how many? I think it's like 34 or 35 or some shit.
Oh, fuck. I thought it was in the 20s. Never mind. My bad.
She got like over like 35 of them shits. She has like a whole house dedicated to it.
I must apologize. I was unfamiliar with your game.
I mean, you got to remember she's been doing this since Destiny's Child, so they count that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, that's very true. That's true.
Yeah. So she got all them shits is decorated in her house. Like, she got more than Michael. She got more than Prince. She got more than Frank Sinatra. She got more than everybody since the Grammys have started. That's the good news. Bad news is she didn't win Album of the Year. Again. Lost to Harry Styles. And you know
what kind of shit is that?
The thing is, Harry Styles' album is actually good. Like, I listened
to it. Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It was a great banger.
You listen to it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's actually quite good. Now, is it better than Renaissance? No. Is it better than Mr. Morale? No. Is it better than Bad Bunny? I mean, I know it's in English, but but is it better than the rest of them shits? I mean, debatable, but...
But is Harry Styles just decent enough to beat all them niggas? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of those five we give it to.
And that is why I have to keep reminding people that black excellence will never compete to white mediocrity.
Like,
as long as it's mediocre, it's gonna win.
Bro, even Adele looked. Even Adele was like, really? Like, Adele got up and left as soon as Harry Styles went up there. She got up and left. Like, Harry Styles out. Like, it's good, but it's not. Oh, fuck, it's hard to say because it's just like they were like the top four. I knew they were gonna get nominated. I knew it was gonna be Beyonce, Harry Styles, Lizzo, Kendrick, Bad Bunny. And yeah, those were the top five, and Adele. Those were the top six.
I knew Kendrick wasn't going to win just based off of the fact that nigga was talking about therapy and white people hate when black people better themselves, so he was out.
Yeah, like you thought to pick a butterfly was bad. Oh no! But yeah, oh yeah, you see what Kendrick was wearing? It looked like he looked like a Compton High School football coach.
No, no, looked like a substitute teacher.
We can just put on a jacket and a tie and just... I've seen both sides. Yeah, it was funny because my mom was all getting mad about me leaving the house looking any kind of way because I wasn't trying to impress nobody. Like, you need to dress nice. And then I look and see what Kendrick is wearing and send it to her. And she was like, she gave me the fucking old boy from Friday. Oh, that's different. But other
than mom looked at you, she said...
But she saw Kendrick and she was like, oh no, that's different. The fuck? Alright. And oh, and one of the highlights were great. Lizzo did great.
I mean, come on. Let's talk about the big one. Come on. We have to talk about the
big one. Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
The newfound love triangle between Adele, Rich Paul,
and
Dwayne Johnson.
The great one. Oh, yeah. That boy had to sit there. And like, yeah, man, damn thing you could do about that shit. You didn't just
watch. You know what's funny about that? It was perfect timing because Twitter had just got done going through that thread of, yeah, you got a real good one, bro. Take care of her. Yeah. All word, you know? Oh, for sure, bet. Black.
Black, yeah. And then Rock just shows up and just... Rich Paul just sitting there like, really, nigga?
He had to take that all night because you see the video with Busta Rhymes?
That was more disrespectful. That nigga was holding her hand and was giving her affirmation after affirmation while holding her hand. And then Rich Paul tried to come in and he just backed him up like, hey, hold up, I'm not done talking. Like, nigga.
Oh, no, he didn't back him up. It was respectfully worse. He put his hand on his shoulder.
Yeah. Said, I'm not done talking to your girl.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Rich Paul had to make a decision. Rich Paul had to decide between either the Lakers and LeBron blowing his phone up about the fact that a major trade had just taken place hours earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to have to sit through all that. And clearly he decided he was going to have to sit through all that because he wasn't taking no calls from anything Laker related.
Nope. He had to sit through that shit. Oh yeah, I keep forgetting that him and Adele are together. Like, wow, that's still fucking random. And she only won one Grammy that night. She only won one Grammy, which is kind of shocking.
Expected. Nah, that was expected.
Yeah, that album really wasn't hitting compared to all the other ones, but still, I'm like, wow. And
I'll tell you the performance that really, like, the one performance that stood out to me the most, actually brought a couple tears to my eyes. I was actually impressed. Lizzo's.
Really?
I was not expecting that. That was actually a really, really good performance. I really thoroughly enjoyed that one.
Well, that was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one. I like the Quavo tribute to Takeoff. That was really
good. That was bittersweet. Yeah. I obviously didn't like it, but not, it wasn't because of Quavo. I think he did him and, Maverick City?
Yeah.
I think him and Maverick City did an amazing job. That was one hell of a tribute. Next topic, because that one's so tough.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. But
what else was there?
We're
gonna focus on before that, leading into that, was Dr. Dre getting the Dr. Dre Award.
The Global Impact Award. And they just called, it's called the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award. And the first,
give me a hell yeah!
Right.
It is Dr. Dre. And he was like, wait, what? And they go,
by the way, salute to Dr. Dre. And it's a black-ass Grammy, too.
That really was a black-ass Grammy. That was that's the blackest I've ever seen it. Like, wow. That's the blackest we ever gonna get for that shit. But, you know, it is.
Them shits was black matte Beats headphones.
Seriously. It's like what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah.
Man. But then after that, it was like the they did. It was dope because it was the 15th anniversary of hip hop, and Dr. Dre got the fucking Dr. Dre award.
The culture.
And then we had the 50th anniversary hip hop celebration performance, which was fucking fire. Like, it was unexpected fire. Like, oh my God. And they damn near got everybody. Damn near everybody. Shit.
Yeah, it was a big ass gap from 2006 to 2019 or 20 or so. But I was glad LL put that disclaimer out very smooth. Was like, yeah, so you motherfuckers stay out of my mentions because I ain't got control over this, but we're going to get some more of this later.
Yeah. Yeah, BET, you're on the clock.
Yeah.
Nah, but Too Short coming out. That was the best. That was the highlight for me, was Too Short coming out for that shit.
Oh, Britt fully understood. I am a Baydestrian. She clearly understood that from that point on.
Yeah.
Great. But no, it was great. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five,
mm-hmm.
Run DMC, mm-hmm. Ice-T, mm-hmm. of course, LL, mm-hmm. and then CM Public Enemy, Eric B,
Bro.
Rakim. They got Salt and Pepper. I didn't expect to see Salt and Pepper.
Big Boy.
Then you got Eric, who was a Queen Latifah, Big Boy. I'm just trying to go through chronologically.
Yeah.
Method Man, I saw Method Man. I lost that. I was like, "Oh, this is we here.
Yeah,
this is amazing."
But
and then they got to the 2000s, and then they busted out with Nelly, mm-hmm. Missy, Too Short,
mm-hmm.
Busta. Mm-hmm. My God, mm-hmm. Busta. Busta. That was amazing.
Yeah, do the Look at Me Now verse and shit.
Yeah,
you know.
My only issue with it was, I had no problem with them doing artists from today.
Yeah.
Could have just been a little bit more seasoned artists from today.
Well, Kendrick didn't feel like performing. J. Cole didn't feel like showing up, and Drake was like, fuck y'all. So
it didn't have to be them.
Mm-hmm. We should've.
There was a whole wide range of artists that have dropped and are household names and are legends in their own right since then.
Could have been Big Sean, Wale, Ross. Well, Ross performed that day. He could have performed twice. But, you know, Wayne could have came out there.
I was thinking of Jeezy and T.I.
Them too, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so that's, you know, I think it was just one of those situations where, you know,
I thought
shit happens. They know it's going to have to get to the BET Awards for them to really, I think it's the BET Awards and both that, the Hip Hop Awards, and they might even do something for the Soul Train.
They should. But I thought the funniest part about that was when I saw Nelly pop up, I was just like, ha! And no KRS-One. That's funny.
Give me a hell yeah!
No, you know, people. That's all I'm going to say. KRS-One, the quote-unquote spokesperson for hip hop, didn't perform, but Nelly did. And just do your Googles on that.
I thought that was hilarious. That was hilarious to me.
Damn, number one. You know,
nope.
The funniest thing about that shit. I mean, the funniest shit to me was when I was watching it, I was happy. But then I'm thinking, this is happening at the Grammys, and the majority of all these performers have won 3 or less Grammys.
Yeah.
Just won a Grammy 2 years ago for a rock song. Not his raps, but for a rock song. It's a damn shame, but hey, man, hip-hop.
The Grammys.
I know. Right?
Something else I thought was really, really dope is we have now realized that Odd Future is officially a legacy act because of Steve Lacy's performance. They have so many acts within the overall group. That round of applause just for Odd Future. Steve Lacy, of course, but man, there's so many damn acts out of Odd Future now. Crazy.
They're like they're the modern day Wu-Tang. If you really think about it. You got Tyler, you got Earl, you got who else? Taco.
Frank Ocean.
I mean, Taco wasn't really
the Internet.
The Internet was Sid, but mostly the Internet. Who else was there?
Because I'm saying the Internet, because Sid and Steve Lacy are both in the group.
Yeah, Jasper, all the niggas. Mm-hmm. They all literally did those.
Domogenesis.
Vince Staples, kind of. in a way, because he's affiliated.
Throwing Casey, to a lesser extent, throwing Casey Veggies.
Casey Veggies.
But yeah, that's they are
salute literally everywhere. Shout out to them.
So we can wrap this up real quick. I had a couple what the fuck moments.
What the fuck moments?
I hated that Stancast.
Stancast?
Yes, all the fans at the round table talking about their favorite albums and why they should win. That was a stand. I hated that so fucking much.
It was a good idea, but they chose the wrong people. They legit.
I want you to guess why I did not like that.
I don't know why. You got to enlighten me, sir.
Every single person that wanted their album to win didn't say anything about the actual music. There was no talk about the arrangements. There was no talk about, oh, the cadence, the notes, anything. It was just, it's just a vibe. It makes you feel good. And it's like, okay, I can put on a random song that you'll think is ass, but it makes me feel good. Like, what the, like, this doesn't prove anything. What are you talking about?
They didn't talk about the album cuts or anything. And you notice none of them said Coldplay. None of them said Mary J. Blige. They only talked about Beyonce, Harry Styles, and Kendrick.
Yeah, they said Coldplay and Monet. Y'all just here to even this out. That's it. But I didn't like that because it's like, okay, cool, you get a vibe from it, cool. But musically, why does it deserve to win? You didn't say anything musically.
Nothing musically. Oh, yeah, speaking
of music. That was the perfect personification of what it's like to talk about music with fans nowadays. Nobody talks about actual music. It's just how they feel.
And speaking of someone who knows how to feel, Chris Brown. Mm.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
The Grammys air, they do the pre-show where they show all the awards like beforehand and shit. And one of them was Best R&B Album. And Chris Brown was nominated there.
He got to the point where he didn't win. So he just went out. His main question was, who the fuck is Robert Glasper?
As soon as I saw Robert Glasper won, I was like, yeah, that was a good win. I remember you put me on the Robert.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to your chair?
There is powerful niggardry at work here.
Yep. Robert Glasper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. What's it called? Black Radio 3? Okay. But this nigga Chris Brown got so upset, he just went on fucking Instagram and went on a whole rant and said, who the fuck is Robert Glasper? Well, y'all gotta stop playing with me. Who the fuck is this nigga? He just got so upset that he lost. And I'm like, really, nigga? Really?
Yeah.
And then in my mind, I'm like, yeah, maybe the universe did you right by not performing that Michael tribute. That's some whole shit. Like, I guess. This is like in your own... That's part of your peers, bruh. That's in your own genre. I guess.
He had the right... He had the right message in the sense of... There needs to be a clearer understanding of that R&B category. Because Robert Glasper wasn't getting radio spins like that, you know what I mean? So maybe they make one that's pop or popular R&B and another one that's, you know, more traditional sense of R&B. But he definitely went about it the wrong way. There's no defending that. Mm-mm. I just thought it was funny because I'm like, who the fuck is Robert Glasper? And then somebody, of course, you know, a researcher, went and brought up the fact Chris Brown got one Grammy and Robert Glasper got four.
I mean, yeah.
That's it was a good time. I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed that. Stevie Wonder, Smokey Robinson, they got to hang it up. I don't want to see them perform anymore. I'm done.
Well, Smokey Robinson's face looked like it was stuck. Looked like it died last week. His face was just stuck.
Yeah, because have you seen the title of his latest album? Gasms. He was stuck in a gasm, looked like. There might be such a thing as dead gasm.
That boy, man, I don't know. He's trying to fit in, man. That is somebody's granddad, man.
He reminds me of another older gentleman that we're going to get into much later. I'm going to come back. I'm going to circle the block on Smokey Robinson. I'm going to bring that back up later.
I know who you're thinking
of. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. Anything else that was like stood out the most?
Then the God Did performance. You know, Khaled, Hove, and all of them.
Man, oh man. I felt like Martin Scorsese. Nigga, this is cinema.
Yeah, Hove was at, they were literally at the table, like having dinner with Jay-Z. and he was surrounded by all his right hand men. I thought that was dope. I thought that was really dope. But then in my mind, I'm thinking, look at hip hop closing the show, and you still didn't award hip hop its highest prize, album of the year.
Well, that's how they get you. Yeah. They get you to sit there the whole night by giving you the closing show. You know, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah, he did a hell of a job hosting. I laughed. I was entertained throughout the evening. Trying to think of one last. That God did performance was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Oh, yeah, Lizzo won record of the year. That was dope to see. And fucking Bonnie, what's her name? Bonnie Raitt won song of the year, and she had the biggest shock on her face. Like, wait, what?
Yep.
I mean, she was like, I guess I won. And then you look on YouTube, someone posted her YouTube views, and there's only 135,000 people listening to that shit on YouTube. I'm just like, these Grammy folks, man. Like I said, I've already went on my rants about the Grammys. Worry about the BET Awards, black people. BET Awards and Hip Hop Awards. Just worry about those awards. Because, again, you look at country, they have the Country Music Awards. They don't care about the damn Grammys. Willie Nelson won for Best Country Album, and he didn't even show up to the shit.
Willie Nelson's still high from 1977, so I'm not surprised. That's the 65th annual Grammys.
Yeah, we'll be back here next year to be disappointed.
Right. Keeping with the applause. Oh, no, not keeping with the applause. Hold on. I'm black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. This is more black excellence, bro.
Yeah, what
else? Waiting on this one.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron James. LeBron
surpassed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He is now the all-time scoring leader in NBA history. And the crazy thing that I read about that is he did it in less games than both Kareem and Karl Malone, who is, of course, number three now on the list, but at the time was number two, I think. Kareem played in like 1,500 games, some odd games.
Yeah.
Karl Malone was like 1,450, and LeBron did, I think, just at 1,410.
That's wild.
And mind you, this record does not include the playoff points. This is all regular season.
That's wild. That was wild to see. And it was like, I remember I got home like late from work. And I'm like, oh, the game's on. Oh, LeBron might break the record. And they had the point countdown shit. So I'm like, okay, let me watch this shit. And LeBron was going hard. Every time LeBron got the ball, you heard the crowd just start rising up and shit like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then every time he kept scoring, like when Russell Westbrook got the ball, I'm like, nigga, pass the ball to LeBron. Like, stop this shit. Just give the ball to LeBron.
Oh, man, Russ had that ball. I remember two straight possessions, two out of three or two consecutive possessions. That nigga just turned the ball over and just gave it right back. And I was like,
yeah.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I just was watching it, and all I could do was just laugh. Mm-hmm. I just laughed, and I was like, oh, that's funny. This is your last game. I think what it does for his legacy overall, there can be no more angry conversations if somebody says he's their GOAT.
Yeah.
You can't be mad at it anymore. Mm-mm. You can list rings. But in my eyes, rings has always been a team accolade.
Yeah.
Now, you lead your team, sure, but you could have – we saw – well, I didn't physically see it, but I've seen the history. Michael Jordan went to the Boston night and went and scored 63, and them niggas still lost.
Yep.
So that's a team accolade. Mm-hmm. If somebody were to tell me LeBron James is their GOAT today, I bet it. I'm good. And I was already reaching that point where it was like, it doesn't matter. It's a clear-cut argument.
And he did it when he was when he's 38 years old. That's when he did the shit.
He's still going, too.
Still going strong.
He's averaging 30 points.
And it's funny because, because the funny thing is, right after he made the record and they paused the game and gave him the whole ceremony and shit like that, the Lakers went and lost the game, and LeBron barely scored again. He was like, whoop, I'm done.
Oh, no, we're going to talk about this. This man scored with 10 seconds left in the third quarter.
Uh-huh.
And he turned around and started celebrating. They rushed everybody to the court. And I'm like, You
the game's not over yet.
Wait a minute. What kind of shit is that?
Wait a minute. You ain't gonna at least finish the goddamn quarter?
No. We're gonna do the
It's 10 seconds left.
There was a minute left. No, there was a minute left. I remember that.
No, it was 10.7 seconds left. 10.7 seconds left, my nigga. That's why I was like, you're not gonna finish. Like, you just, it's 10 seconds. Let him run out the clock,
and then do the whole ceremony. They went. They gave him a little. No,
he scored. He turned around. He put his hands up in the air like this, and everybody just rushed the court. And I'm looking down. Like, I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, for sure. And I'm looking like, y'all just, oh, we doing this now. So they went and spent 10 to 15 minutes on the court doing that. Then they got everybody off and finished the 10 seconds in the damn quarter. They had a whole fourth quarter to play.
Speeches, videos, after the other day, Joe Silver came out like...
Adam Silver was there. They was passing basketball. Denzel and all the motherfuckers was touching court and everything. Like, it was just like...
Game over.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, again, as a LeBron fan... I was happy. As a Lakers fan, I'm like, you niggas get the fuck off the court, man. We still got a game to win.
I'm thinking, what if Kobe would have did that? Kobe would have just been like, the fuck, y'all?
Well, to be fair, when Kobe did hit the free throw to become third all-time on the list at the time, they did stop the game. But it was no, like, speech or anything like that. But they did get passing the ball. He got to do his rounds against Minnesota. So they did do that.
Okay. Was it at home at the Staples or?
No, it was in the Target Center in Minnesota.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
now, mind you, they still did that when there was probably about 5 or 6 minutes left in the first quarter. But they made sure to get back into it. If I remember correctly, it didn't take longer than 5 minutes. They let him have the ball. Let him just wave, and everybody applauded, and they got back to it.
You would have thought
this shit was
over.
Like, you would have known. Fuck the game being over. You would have thought we just won another championship. Patrick Beverly, his tenure with the Lakers was short, but it produced two of the most iconic moments. This man walked out and got a technical foul because he took the big ass HD camera to the referee and said foul. Then in the middle of this celebration, he had enough time to go back to the locker room and come back with his phone and was taking pictures. Patrick Beverly put his jersey in the rafters with the other great Lakers. Patrick Beverly, I salute you. You have brought joy to me, my brother. That was incredible. Round of applause to Patrick damn Beverly, man. I ain't ever seen no shit that the last three weeks. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, the Thunder were all just chilling on the sideline like, yeah, this is cool, but wrap this up. And then fourth quarter happened, and you got
scored two more points and said, I'm here for the vibes. I'm out.
I got a party to fucking do. I had a party after the game.
Which rightfully so. Yeah. I wasn't upset with Bron. Like, this isn't something that happens every single day. I don't know if you know, but it took 38 or 39 years for this record to switch names. LeBron is 38. That means when LeBron was born, Kareem had just set this record.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
It legitimately took a ball player's lifetime to go and beat that record.
And Kareem was sitting there. That's insane. That is nothing. Kareem sat there like, motherfucker. Well, first show.
Kareem sat there like a 75-year-old man that was like, look, man. We cool. I could do this shit tomorrow. I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
I gotta go film another episode for Lil Dicky real quick.
Yeah, I gotta do another article. I gotta write another article. But no,
exactly.
A very historical moment, man. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
That was
a dope moment to see. And he did it as a Laker. Like, I would have thought he would do it as a Cav or maybe do it as a Heat, but nah, he did that shit as a Laker.
Do you know what's significant about the top five scores?
Three out of the five of them were Lakers.
Four out of the five of them have worn Lakers jerseys.
Whoa.
Now it kind of hurts me because that nasty ass mailman is a part of it. But we're not going to get into semantics.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to get into semantics. Okay.
I forgot about that.
Four of the top five all time scorers wore Lakers jerseys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the greatest franchise in NBA history. I don't give a damn about what the Boston Celtics have to say.
Yeah.
Y'all used to beat up on plumbers to win titles, okay? We got the titles. We got a bubble ring. We won a title where it said Black Lives Matter on the court. And four out of the five top NBA scorers of all time wore purple and gold.
All I wanted when you guys won that bubble ring, it's just I wanted that parade at Disney World. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to
yeah, see. but remember they left Quentin Cook.
Yeah, I remember so, that. But I wanted so that parade. I wanted J. R. Smith to pour liquor down Minnie Mouse's like mouth and shit. Like,
no. Remember the NBA had just got rid of the weed rule, so J.R. would have fucked the Hennessy because J.R. says he don't even drink Hennessy like that.
Oh yeah,
J.R. would have had them pounds on him. Pause.
I'm just saying, man. I just wanted that, but because I would have personified 2020 for the whole year.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened.
And then, actually, what preceded all this? My God.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
My lord, nigga. Kyrie Irving set it all off, said, I want to get out of here. And
somebody did this.
Joe Tsai.
My lord.
There's some words I want to say about Joe Tsai, but I'm not going to say them. All I will say is that, remember, Kyrie had stated publicly, or he issued the statement through his sources, he wanted to be a Laker.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Tsai said, I will grant your wish and I will trade you, but I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you will not be a Laker. So he went against proper business etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same etiquette where the NBA said that trading Chris Paul to the Lakers was going to get vetoed for basketball decisions. So this man failed to make a basketball decision, went pure petty, which, again, we talking about me here. Mm-hmm. I enjoy pure good petty.
That you do.
But when you do it in spite of your sales, your fans, and everything, like, he got crumbs.
He did.
He got crumbs, and that's no disrespect to Dinwiddie. That's no disrespect to Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Or Finney, but they're not superstars.
Literally gave up the farm just to get rid of Kyrie. I mean, I guess.
No, he didn't give up the farm.
Not give up the farm, but
he got pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, pennies. Yeah, he got pennies back. Like,
yeah. So Kyrie went to Minnesota, or I'm sorry, not Minnesota. He went to the Mavericks.
Yeah, went to Dallas.
I think that's going to be some of the most entertaining close basketball you're going to find. A lot of high scoring, no defense games. But I don't think that's ultimately going to hold suit going into the offseason. Mm-hmm. I think he's still going to choose to opt out and test free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But I do commend the Mavericks for going all in. Because they desperately needed to do something.
Yeah.
That was not going to hold. So Luka now has an official backcourt mate that can put points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it was just all chaos.
Yeah, because then he goes and does interviews and says, oh, yeah, man, I'm happy to be here. I'm ecstatic to be here. Like, I'm happy to be in an organization that cares about me. Wait, what?
No, he's absolutely right. Because if you notice some other things that he did, too, first thing that you notice off his social media, that apology was deleted.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. So my thing with Kyrie is I fully support Kyrie in his decision to request that trade because his whole thing was you put up some more tasks and more goals for me to get before you're going to give me my money. Yeah. I just went through this with you. So now you're playing with me. Just get me out. It's fine. I agree with him on that end. Because if they weren't going to keep him in the offseason, he actually did them a favor. You could get something for me.
Yeah,
so he to me, he's not at fault. Joe Tsai is the one that's got to take some responsibility in that. Now, was Kyrie the perfect angel? Was he a saint through all this? No, he had his flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But to look at it and say that Kyrie was the de facto reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
No, that was
those. Because remember who else came through that building and then left? James Harden. Look who's in that building now. Ben Simmons.
How did that happen?
Exactly. So there's a lot of blame. There's a lot of blame to go around that, in addition to putting it on Kyrie. That being said, moves began circulating. One of the bigger moves, the Lakers were free from Russell Westbrook. I'm going to say this like I've always been saying. I love and always have love for Russell Westbrook and his game. It just wasn't a good mix.
Mm-mm.
He had to go. It was just simple. He had to go.
I'm happy y'all free from his shadows.
What they were able to acquire.
Mm-hmm.
What they were able to acquire and what they were how they got it and what they sent out. Rob Pelinka, I apologize. I forgot what your game looked like.
Mm-hmm.
He brought back D'Angelo Russell. He brought back Malik Beasley. He brought back Jared Vanderbilt. He only had to send out Russell Westbrook, who wasn't going to return.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Beverley, which, give or take, Dennis Schroeder made his position expendable.
Mm-hmm.
And then he only had to give up a first-round pick, which, if the Lakers somehow aren't good in 2027 and they end up in the top four of the lottery, the Lakers actually retained that pick. Very, very, man, let me tell you something, bro. Come on, man.
Hey, man.
Round of applause to, round of applause to the Rob Father. He's Rob Father.
He has a good mouthpiece. He has a good mouthpiece. So, hey, good.
Pause.
Pause. Oh, big time pause. Yeah, he knows how to get shit done. So, hey, man.
Yeah.
Y'all
so
got
I'm thinking, shit. Okay, cool. You know, great move. I start relaxing, put my head down.
Wee hours in the morning.
No.
Wee hours in the evening.
Oh, yeah, for Westbrook. See, this is another reason why it pays. It pays to live on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Because I put my phone down and as soon as 10, them Woj bombs, Shams alerts, Kevin Durant has been traded to the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns.
The Phoenix Suns. That
what kind of shit is that?
Like out of nowhere, like an RKO. Like, wait, what?
announcement reminded me of
what?
When Kawhi went to the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't just Kawhi going to the Clippers. It was, oh, by the way, Paul George is on his way to the Clippers right now too. And niggas was like, wait, what the
wait,
fuck?
Wait, what?
He just signed a new contract with the Thunder. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What that was like.
Now the Suns look pretty spooky. Yeah, but
man, they sent out Mikal Bridges. Who Mikal Bridges? A salute to him. He is gonna. I think at one point he will find his way into being an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
They sent him out. They sent Cam Johnson out. I forget who the third player was. They sent them. They sent picks. There was like four unprotected first round picks. It was like four over the next 8 years. And to add insult to injury, they also received TJ Warren.
Wow.
I don't know if the name TJ Warren rings a bell to you.
Mm-mm.
But TJ Warren was the ball player that when the bubble was there, they called him Bubble Jordan because TJ Warren could not miss.
I remember him. Yeah, I do remember him.
He's just been injured the past 2 years, but TJ Warren got sent over to the Suns.
Okay. Well,
meaning that once you, if KD has a bad night, if Devin Booker has a bad night,
if Chris Paul has a bad night,
and if DeAndre Ayton somehow has a bad night, because all I really think Chris Paul is going to do is facilitate. That's not to say he's not going to score, but that is clearly not his job at this point. He does not need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If for whatever reason their top three scorers do not score the ball, TJ Warren will be coming in and he will probably be dropping 20 off the bench.
Well, all righty then.
Yeah. And then once that took place, it was just it was a free for all. Just alerts everywhere, bro.
Warriors got rid of Wiseman. That was like, wow. Okay. I guess that Wiseman.
I knew that was coming. See, Warriors fans. Yeah, could have used LaMelo, huh? Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
trying to convince everybody.
Fan.
No, that's a good pick. It's a good pick. No, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Edgar was telling me about Wiseman because I guess he watched him in the G League and like I guess during like his college years and shit. And he kept telling me, "Hey, guy, the Warriors got somebody with him." And I was like, "Oh, he's just injured right now, but they got somebody with him." I'm like, oh, "Okay." And the game's going on, and he's playing like hot doo-doo. And I was just like,
he didn't fit the system. And really you know didn't. Who would have fit the system was LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, well, shit happens.
That was an easy one. Yeah. See, now they got that, but no, well, I'm talking about bigger ones at play. John Wall got off his chest that my time in Houston was just toxic, and it actually made me think about suicide, which is not funny. I want to preface that is not funny. That's not funny.
It's not funny at all.
What is funny though is the Clippers to make space was like, yeah, so we're gonna send you back to Houston.
Press Kanye.
Somebody did this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going to jail, boy.
They sent him out. For whatever reason, they sent Reggie Jackson out. Hmm. I mean, I get why they did it, but I don't. They needed a center. They got Mason Plumlee. Cool. Charlotte's going to buy out Reggie Jackson, and the rumor is Reggie Jackson's already on his way to Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
So now you have a point guard that put up 17 points per game and when they went to the Western Conference Finals. He's capable of 17 off the bench because he'll be backing up Chris Paul. Phoenix Suns are officially the favorites to win. They're the favorites. They cannot be the favorites. They are.
On paper.
The East Coast is Eastern Conference is ass. They had a sparkling start, but now they are
super garbage.
It's a three team toss up between the Celtics, the Bucks, and the 76ers. And I'm not putting money on the 76ers. It's going to be between the Bucks and Celtics. Everybody else in the East Coast is just there. And the Western Conference, the fourth seed all the way to the 13th seed is only separated by four games.
It's going to be
the Wild Wild West to end the season.
It's the Royal Rumble. After All-Star weekend, it's going to be the Royal Rumble.
These play-in games might be the all-time record for viewers watched during these play-in games. Mm-hmm. Because you got to remember, too, if the Lakers can't find a way to get out above the sixth seed, they're going to be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearly better. The Pelicans have stumbled, but Zion's on his way back.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be in that mix. The Mavs are still in the mix for the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Just got Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is going to be some shit, and I'm excited.
So excited. And then, well, the last thing, but right.
Oh, and then to end off hoop in general, the real MVP of trade deadline, 5 second round draft picks. I ain't never heard no shit like that in my life. Every team was trading 5 second round draft picks to go get a player. I've never heard that before.
Them niggas said, fuck them picks.
Yeah. They did that so much so that Patrick Beverley got sent out and Mo Bamba is on his way to the Lakers. I completely forgot about that. That one blew my mind.
Mm.
I saw that one, and the first thing that came to my mind was, I got hoes calling
my name. Yep. And then
we added size, we added depth, we added shooting, we added a legitimate third scorer. Lakers did some shit. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to watch Lakers to that fourth seed. I'm campaigning.
Okay. And then one other thing, right before we recorded, news broke about what's going on with, because what's his name? Gary Payton II was on his way back to the Warriors from Portland. And Warrior fans were like, oh, shit, okay. And then right before we recorded, news came out. Yeah, he didn't pass his physical. And it got revealed that he was fighting through injuries at Portland. And Portland told him to tough it out. And they didn't tell the Warriors that.
What kind of shit is that?
That's some shady shit.
Yeah, they're shooting him with horse tranquilizers.
That's some shady shit. If he plays, he's going to be out for 3 months.
But not only that, it also has a problem to void everything. So Wiseman may be on his way back because that was a 4-team deal.
It was. And now the Warriors have to make a decision, either get rid of Wiseman or just tough it out for 3 months. And hopefully he comes back by the playoffs.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Russ is with the Jazz, but Russ is going to get bought out. And guess where the rumor is that he's going to?
Well, the Jazz.
No, he's already with them. He's going to get bought out.
Oh, who's he rumored to go to?
Let's just say he wouldn't have to move.
Where's he going?
Oh, well, if he played with the Lakers and he doesn't have to move.
Clippers.
Which is why they got rid of John Wall and they got rid of Reggie Jackson.
Man, that nigga went from the Thunder.
I would love the chaos.
Thunder to the Rockets to the Lakers. Damn. Oh, well.
I would love the chaos because you know he's going to cuss Kawhi out for not playing.
Of course he is.
You know it.
Of course he is.
Russ is Iron Man.
He's going to go hard and miss the layup. He'll be speeding down the fast lane and then brick a whole layup. Oh, shit.
Yep. Or throw the ball to Kareem.
Oh, yeah.
Not even on the court.
Nope. Or Billy Crystal. Yeah. He's still there.
Yeah.
You know who I didn't see at the Lakers game for LeBron's bubble? I didn't see Jack Nicholson there.
He's rarely at the games now.
Oh, shit. I would have thought his ass would have been there for that. But
yeah, he's rarely at the games.
Anyway, let's move on. Football. Super Bowl is why you're hearing this. It is this weekend. My Niners are not in it.
Black, 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 black
save all that for later.
It's the nigga bowl.
This is historic.
Mm-hmm.
Historic.
Mm-hmm.
For many reasons. The main one, two black quarterbacks starting in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
Long time coming.
Yeah.
They still beating niggas in the streets, but at least we got two quarterbacks in the Super Bowl.
Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. That's the Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, you might.
Yep. There's another first too.
What? Oh yeah, two brothers.
It's actually a good one. Two brothers, mm-hmm, in Jason and Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Both offensive players. I don't think
anybody in that family loses.
No.
I mean, out of the two of them.
Yeah.
But the family themselves, no, this is the Kelce Bowl. That's awesome.
You should have saw the mom show up with the jerseys, and they're all set, like separate jerseys and shit. I'm rooting for both teams.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, mom, you got to make a choice.
Yep.
That's what I would have told her. Nah, mom, you better make a choice.
Yep.
Shit.
So, yeah, Kansas City went and beat the Bengals. Was a 23-20, very close game.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Of course, Eli Apple decided to be Eli Apple, giving up passes all over. But then there was the one play. Didn't necessarily agree with it, but I get it. It's the rules. It's the rules. You can't test the quarterback when he hits out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was low of his teammates to start blaming him as if they had perfect games themselves.
I was like, why
didn't you touch the quarterback? He was in bounds.
Because if he would have not
touched him. At one point, he was in bounds.
If he would not have touched him, they would have went to overtime. The game would have went to overtime. But,
yeah.
But all the shit the Bengals were talking, calling it Burrowhead and shit like that, they deserved to lose like that. Because they were talking way too much shit. And the way they lost.
Oh, the mayor was wilding.
Yeah.
The mayor wild.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, I hope Kansas City beat y'all. And the way they won, I'm like, yeah, that's how y'all supposed to win. Yeah.
The Bengals fans was wilding, but I couldn't bring myself to say, I hope y'all win.
For obvious reasons for you. I know.
Yeah, yeah. Really? So they won. They're down the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got 1 minute. Get it off your chest, because Philadelphia Eagles whoop that ass.
Well. See, what happened was, our quarterback went down. First series of the game. Now I know why.
First drop back.
Fucking old boy went in there and hit fucking Purdy. His arm went back. He was
injured. Hassan.
Huh?
One of those four players I told you had 10 plus sacks. That motherfucker hit that shit.
It wasn't an interception, but it was still a turnover. But
it was a fumble.
It was a fumble, yeah. And then after that, and then Josh Johnson came in as our fourth string quarterback. And I was just like, okay, fourth string quarterback. I'm like, okay, if we win this fucking game, we have to win the Super Bowl at this point. Nope, didn't happen. That boy is.
Then he did his first drop back, and then I wish I could have seen your face.
I sat back like, well, here we go. It was horrible. It was horrible. He was terrible. Like, dude, you did not spend no time watching film. Josh Johnson is a journeyman. He's been on 10 fucking NFL teams. And he collected a check. I can't be mad at him. But, nigga, that boy was terrible.
My favorite thing about Josh Johnson. My favorite thing about Josh Johnson is the fact that he is Marshawn Lynch's right-hand man when it comes to beast mode.
Yeah, he stays with a check. He does just enough to stay on the practice squad.
So Josh Johnson be like, yeah, so I'm going to go over here and go get this money real quick, but hit me if we got to put some more shipping out real quick. I'll be over here. Don't worry about it.
And what made it worse, man? And then what made it worse is that in the third quarter, old boy went down, and then he was injured. So we had no quarterback. We were about to put in fucking Christian McCaffrey or Juszczyk as a quarterback, but Purdy went back in there, but he couldn't throw. He couldn't throw more than 10 yards. Like, his arm was dead.
Yeah.
So we were literally offensively handicapped, and we just had to run the ball the entire time. That was just – it was like a season's worth of bad luck just manifested into that game.
And Murphy's Law.
No, I blame one person.
No, it's Murphy's Law. Yeah. Like, you can blame one person, but that overall distinguished is what we call Murphy's Law.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, I mean, yeah.
What will go wrong, what can go wrong, will go wrong.
Yeah, literally, that's what happened. And it was one of those, I was mad at first, like, I'm never doing it now. But now it's like, looking back onto it, I was just like, well, that could have happened at the Super Bowl. Could have been worse. So.
Oh, yeah. You could have did that shit in front of Rihanna.
Could have won of the world, Craig.
Shit. Yeah. But Rihanna got 13 minutes. Rihanna got 13 minutes coming up on Super Bowl. What song are you most excited to listen to?
I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, I'm more excited just to look at her.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, she hasn't performed in years.
That's not to say. I when I recognize the slaps, I'm gonna be singing them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very excited to look at Milf Riri.
Yeah, Milf Riri. Yeah, I mean, she's excited and probably nervous as hell for this shit. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait till first performance in years. My homegirl asked me, so when do you think a new record's gonna come out? You did get a new record when Black Panther dropped. She's like, that doesn't count. Yeah, it does. Not what you wanted. Yeah,
it counts when you see them Savage Fenty returns
with the receipts with the Wakanda fucking print on it. The fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
That's as close as you ever.
All right, so Super Bowl, who you got?
My heart says Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, but I'm going with my gut. I've been right the entire time. I'm not going against Patrick Mahomes. I can't. I cannot.
Yeah, I'm picking the Eagles. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is going to have a game.
Mm-hmm.
That damn defense, though. That Eagles defense is something special.
Oh, I know. I know it is.
That is a special defense. With that being said, I have this game in the 30s still. I think the Eagles defense is going to get that stop down in the second half. Yeah, I would say, but I mean, it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. I'm not going to say it's the last drive.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll get a stop that highly shifts it. I'll say if I got it in the 30s, I'll say somebody going to do some weird-ass two-point conversion. It's going to be 38-32 Eagles.
I still see it being a high-scoring game. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 38-32 Eagles. AJ Brown takes the MVP.
Okay. Well, for me, I think it'll probably be Patrick Mahomes, and he'll be the first fucking QB to get league MVP and Super Bowl MVP, which will be some shit.
Not bad.
But however,
hey, the culture wins either way.
Oh yeah, of course. But however, there is a curse. There's a league MVP curse that I did not know about until Edgar pointed this out. He said every player that has won league MVP did not go on to win the Super Bowl. And I was like, really? And he gave me a whole list. It's like 1990 or whatever. And I was like, holy shit. So if Patrick Mahomes wins this, he overcomes that curse. The Madden curse and the MVP curse. So we're going to see.
He won't overcome that Denver curse, though.
Did he pick him?
I don't know, but I'm saying, like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Your pick's gonna be.
That's what I said.
Your pick's gonna be fucked if you find out that he picked him.
I said there's one person I blame Demmer. Just people, if y'all watching this podcast for the first time, there is a curse in JC's Facebook group that I'm a part of. This man's curse is real for decades. This is
Yeah. You could go all throughout the Facebook group, and you know. Is there? It's a long standing history. It ain't just something like we just laughing at, ha ha ha. Like, I've actually, as an administrator, I've kicked him out several times just to make sure the day passes through and he can't offset anything with his evil.
On the day of the game, he changed his header to Brock Purdy. The day of the Niner Eagles game, the first drop, Brock Purdy gets injured, and then all hell goes loose.
Oh, it gets even better. Later on in the week, when Tom when he said, okay, he's out, we got to go get Tom Brady.
We have to go get
23 hours later, Tom Brady retired. Yes, it's that level.
That's just an example, people. So whoever he picks to win the Super Bowl, pray for them.
Yep. What we got? We got to close up football. We got D'Amico Ryan. Salute to him. He's the new Texans head coach.
Yes, yeah, Sean Payton. That man.
Salute to him. He's the new Broncos head coach. He also said Russell Wilson got to get the fuck up out of here with his off field coach.
Wait, that happened?
Sean Payton?
Yeah, he's going to be the new coach.
Well, the Broncos. Yeah, that came out like a day after D'Amico Ryan.
Oh wow,
D'Amico Ryan.
Oh wow, well, shit! I must have missed that.
He's already had the press conference. He came out and he was like, yeah, Russell Wilson and these off-field coaches, that shit ain't happening on my team.
You did say, I think I did see that. I didn't think it was official, but wow, okay. Well.
No, that shit was official before the championship games were played.
Okay. All right. Well, shit.
Yeah. He's with the Broncos.
Hmm.
What else we got?
Well, the NFL.
I will say Geno Smith, salute to Geno Smith. I kept trying to tell people. Geno Smith is one and win comeback player of the year. Geno Smith came back, he hadn't started a game in like 7 years, came back and threw 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and over 4,000 yards.
And took
I don't
to
know
the
what anybody else could be talking about. And I don't know what anybody else could be talking about. That's not a comeback.
Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley,
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley, yeah, they had great years. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey, he was on my squad. But, nah, Geno was the comeback player of the year by far.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yep. Both Jets rookies, Wilson and Sauce, they won rookies of the year, both offensively and defensively. What else we got?
Nick Bosa won defensive player of the year, well-deserved.
Yeah, he did.
Mahomes won.
Josh Jacobs won the Jim Brown Award.
Yay! Nice guy of the year.
He won that, and he won the FedEx Ground Player of the Year. Hey, Raiders actually won something. Salute.
Dak Prescott won another award. I think he won the Walter Payton Award. Dak Prescott.
I think so.
Yeah, Dak Prescott won that. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of. You should have saw Jason when he won that shit. He posed. He's like, he's a charitable person.
Fam, I see all that shit in the chat before y'all see it.
But as soon as I saw that, I'm like, come on, man. You're the interception.
I see it all. I see the stuff you'll never, ever see publicly. that's the beauty of that. I see everything that will never, ever hit the public. And that is the funniest shit ever.
Well, shout out to Jason. He's on Bleacher Report.
Yeah, him and Kings. Mm-hmm. We had a nice quick segment. I still can't find the damn link. He sent the wrong time frame, but salute to my guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get into to close up sports. Arian Foster says that the NFL is scripted. And this turned into one of the greatest threads already of Twitter history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me explain my top five. My top five. Number five, Tom Brady seeing Matt Ryan read the Super Bowl script. Number four, Pitbulls reading about Michael Vick. Number three, Deshaun Watson reading his 3-year downward spiral and redemption.
Yeah.
Number two, Jason Pierre-Paul reading the script about the 4th of July. And number one, Jerry Jones reading the script about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. Fred, yeah. And he was dead ass serious about it too. That's what made it funny, Aaron Foster. He was dead ass serious. Like, oh yeah, it's scripted. We do this in practice, we go over the script of the game and everything.
Right. Those are my top five. But
somebody did this.
Alright. We got some clothes. We got some random ones, one offers. Mm. And then we is out of here.
So,
Get Rich or Die Trying is now 20 years old.
We old. We talked about this album so many. Talked about boy Quake from Diverse
yes.
Mentality.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that doc.
Extremely hard on that doc. He has worked extremely hard on that documentary. He literally went out the way. He's like the biggest 50 stan that I know on Twitter. So, yeah, he's going to give 50 Cent that proper tribute for that album.
Yep.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, Get Rich or Die Trying. Just you can always tell the age of whoever you're talking about with hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Officially, that is that album where it officially ushers in the next wave of hip-hop fans. Mm-hmm. It's Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah, that was...
I'll say that, because again, we've talked about this album, we've talked about the 50 and G-Unit legacy so many times on so many episodes, but I still got to give it this props, because it's instant classic.
Instant classic. Again, I will never forget that day when I turned on KMEL and the DJ, I think it was Vaughn or whatever, and he said, you can't find this album nowhere in the Bay. It is sold out everywhere. Like, it was like 50 was a force when he dropped.
875,000 first week sales.
After
the next week, it was after a leak, they had to rush it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next week, it still sold over 820,000. Still,
yeah, gangster rap was selling. I need to go back and re listen to that album, man. I've listened to it so many times throughout my life, so it's kind of just like I just know every track bar by bar. Sound by sound.
Right.
So it's like you get used to it. So, but yeah, man. And now, like 20 years later, he owns Stars, practically.
I'm glad you said that, brother.
You look like how I did that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to you, sir?
There's powerful niggardry at work here.
Smokey Robinson and his gasms. And then you got Daddy Charles.
He's a wild boy.
Somebody did this.
What?
I'm blicking it black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacking it black, yo. Because I'm black and I'm black.
So,
oh, yeah.
What happened to your chair?
There is powerful niggardry at work here.
That's what I have to say about Papa Charles.
That's a wild boy.
That man.
That's a wild boy.
That man distributed 5 minutes amongst two women.
Yeah, 10 minutes for two beautiful women.
Didn't even wash his wee wee off. That's
fucked old girl. Fucked old girl that went home to his wife and went to bed with a smile on his face. That's a nasty.
Well, I think you're missing the biggest play out of all this.
Which is what?
He sent his wife with the woman that she thought he was sleeping with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real play. That's the play action right there. That is officially play action.
That's what you call that. That's play action.
That's play action.
I think it's going one way, but it's a bomb over here.
My sister hit me. It was funny because my sister hit me. She's like, I thought that motherfucker was at a swingers party. The way old girl was pinching his ass, talking about, ooh, you brought a good one over here.
She was being. She knew what she wanted. She pretty much told him we could do this the easy way, or we could do this the hard way.
He gave her the greatest three pumps he could give. Went back in there. And then what made it so funny was it wasn't even an hour since he did that, and he was at the sink reminiscing about new coochie and just giggling like a schoolgirl.
Yeah,
no, it's that I'm wilding. And then his wife came in and said, well, I'm going to get that old thing back, and gave her four pumps and said, I'm out. Seven pumps, seven. 5 minutes, two women.
Never lost.
Never lost. Guess
who's going to tell tonight? Somebody did this.
Oh, I love BMF, man. Oh, that's, man. That's the shit.
Kind of mad there's no new episode this week, probably because of the Super Bowl, but whatever.
Yeah, I need the break. It was cool. Netflix got their reality check.
Yeah, they thought.
Ugh. Yeah.
So pretty much they're trying to crack down on sharing passwords with everybody. So they gave a new system out that they quote-unquote say, oh, we only posted it as an error. But pretty much they're saying it has to be in one household, one account for one house. They're doing the PS Plus shit, the PlayStation Plus shit they did with us, remember?
Which is stupid. Uh-huh. Because if you factor in, okay, let's leave out friends sharing passwords and all that for a moment. Let's talk about an actual household. Some of those households have what? College students.
Yes.
Some of those households have what? Servicemen.
Yes.
So the rule would have been that you have to have your device within the household Wi-Fi within 3 months or you'll get kicked off. But guess how long servicemen are out? Usually for as long as 18 months.
Or years.
Guess how long college kids are out? It's probably going to be 4 to 5 months at a time.
Mm-hmm. They only come back for the holidays, at least.
Some of them don't even come back for the holidays.
Yeah. And also, Netflix was acting like they're the big dog in town. I'm like, my niggas, you know how many other streaming services are out there right now?
Bruh, we've already talked about HBO Max. We've already talked about Disney Plus. Paramount Plus is on they shit because now Paramount Plus is reissuing themselves as Paramount Plus with Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
They shit too. I don't know how much you watch Paramount Plus. Yeah, I don't know how much you watch Paramount Plus, but the mayor of Kingstown. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I gotta watch that shit. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me.
Yeah.
That man went from going to Asia and killing Asians over the pandemic. He came back to the States. He came back to the States, bro.
I saw the first.
And now he fighting inmates.
I saw the first season. I saw like parts of the first season. I didn't finish it.
Oh my lord!
I know. It's
my God!
Great show.
Episode 9, season 1, episode 9.
Mm-hmm. I watched the other show called King of Tulsa, the one with Sylvester Stallone.
Good one.
That was a good
season. Yeah.
And I keep telling you about Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
Like Yellowstone prequels. That is the power. Like what? That is the power of Paramount. Like yeah.
Yeah. Nah, yeah. Yeah, but Netflix wilding. They think because they dropped You People that everybody was gonna be like, oh, well, we good. Mm. No.
Well, yeah, they backed out of it, but apparently it still went live in Canada and other countries. And Canada was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm canceling this shit.
Yep.
Yeah, they're trying to.
What kind of shit is
they
that?
To see how far they can go before people get mad, because they when they saw the uproar in America, they're like, oh shit, yeah, let's go back on this. Like, no shit,
yeah, ain't nothing a VPN can't fix.
Seriously,
you know what I'm saying? I don't need Netflix. Ain't nothing. Look, we are officially in that back in my day era of our lives. Because back in my day,
God.
Nigga, we had torrents. Mm-hmm. I could watch full fledged on the TV screen without having to stream anything.
Back in our day,
pay for a subscription.
Yeah, once again, I don't know why Netflix keep thinking they're the big dog in the house. I'm like, there's other streaming platforms. There's Tubi. You can watch shit for free. There's fucking Zeus.
I love, hey, bro.
I know.
Hey, bro.
I know.
Hey, bro. I used to hate bad movies. I used to hate them so much.
But the older you
then
get.
I met Tubi. Then I met Tubi.
Surprised Tyler Perry hasn't invested in Tubi.
Oh, he's going to be there.
Yeah, he probably will.
The reason why he ain't there yet is because he's contractually obligated to BET Plus. But he's going to find his way to Tubi.
And Netflix.
Trust you me. Courtney Kemp going to take over BET Plus, and when she does, Tyler Perry going to move over to Tubi.
No, Courtney Kemp's at Netflix. For now.
No, what I'm saying is when Courtney Kemp takes over for Tyler Perry, he's going to run over and he's going to just manhandle Tubi.
Oh, speaking of Amazon Prime, I don't know if I sent it to you, but there's a new show called The Swarm that's going to be on Amazon Prime, and it's produced by Donald Glover, and it's pretty much based off Beyonce's Beehive. It's inspired by the Beehive. And what's her name? Helped co-write the show. What's her name? Obama's daughter.
Malia?
Yeah, Malia. Yep.
Nice. Good. Hey. Black excellence. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up.
I'm blacker than black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. They showed the teaser trailer, and I was just like, yeah. I'm like, this sounds like an episode that could have been for Atlanta, but then Donald Glover changed his mind. He's like, I'm going to make this a show.
Right. And I like that.
Yeah. And then what else happened? What else fucking shows about?
Oh, come on now. Come on. Let's get it in. Let's get it in.
And I've been waiting, baby.
Family.
The first preview of Family Time.
Fast X. Family Time. That's what they should call it. Family Time. Fast X.
See, people call it the Fast and Furious saga. I call it Family Time.
It was a 4-minute trailer.
It's Family Time.
That was a 4-minute TV trailer.
with Notorious Thugs. That was amazing.
Nah, that's also, it's a song with YG. It's a song with YG and it sampled Notorious Thugs, but yeah.
That's fine. To put it damn near a cappella. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. To make that cinematic.
Oh, yeah. I love cinematic hip-hop songs, man. You can get Biggie songs to make it cinematic. Just get random hip-hop songs to make it cinematic or make it into horror movies. Like, we live in a day where I Got Five on it was used for a horror movie. What?
Yeah.
Nah, man. It wasn't. This trailer was not as crazy as Fast 9 because, nigga, Fast 9.
They went to space.
Hold up.
I'm blacker than black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black.
Black men in space.
I mean, you saw a car swing on a fucking swing like Tarzan and shit.
Like, good times.
That was Fast 9.
Good
Fast
times.
10, it's not as, for their standards, it's a lot more grounded-ish. Seeing helicopters crashing together when a car flies through it and shit. That's grounded compared to what Fast 9 was. But, yeah, man, Jason Momoa, he's going to be the villain. John Cena's back. Everybody's back. And you already know Brian's going to come back somehow. You already know.
Yeah.
It's a tense movie.
Yep.
But, yeah.
I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, go on.
Did you hear about the 23-year-old JV basketball coach for the girls team that went on the court and started busting all the girls' asses?
That was funny.
And got
hell.
Fired, and then they had to cancel the season as a result of that.
She was blocking everybody's shots too.
Now she's doing that. She's blocking everybody's shots and then turning back talking shit.
It was for high school or was it junior high?
It was high school. It was JV.
Wow. She was like 22 years
that's
old
a way to get,
and blocking.
23, that's a way to get fired.
Like you
had to cancel the whole damn season.
I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to your chair?
There's powerful niggardry at work.
And then to close it up, fam, we gotta protect our movies, okay? The Fast saga, it's Family Time. Like, I will never chastise or get rid of that. Mm. Even when they're at their most comic-y, that has to stay. But there has to be something said about these damn 90s remakes. They got to stop.
Yeah.
Stop the 90s remakes and focus on 2020's newbies, okay? We didn't need another House Party.
Did you?
We definitely don't need no damn White Men Can't Jump. We don't need it.
Yeah, Kenya Barris is writing that shit too.
No, we don't need it. We don't need it. Netflix got you people. That's basically Jungle Fever and whatever interracial. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? All wrapped into one.
I told you,
but there's no chemistry.
I told you that. I wanted to tell you this shit after it came out. I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna let you realize it. That I wanted to like that movie, man. I wanted to. Only good things about that movie was Eddie Murphy and Julia Dreyfus. Everybody else, wanted to root for Lauren London, but baby girl. If you're in a romantic comedy, when you sign up for a romantic comedy and you don't want to kiss your lead, dude, there's something wrong there.
Yeah, I don't get a rom-com and there ain't no kissing. Like,
They kiss, but they
that disrupts. Yeah, see, and this isn't to put blame on Lauren London or Jonah Hill. This is just a generalized statement. When you do stuff like this, then you start normalizing – intergender friendships that could be marriages.
Yeah,
that's what you're gonna. That's what we're going to now start seeing as a result of this. It's going to start becoming more normalized. Hey, you're my best friend. Well, let's get married.
Yeah, they came off more as best as BFFs than an actual couple. Like it should have been.
I wasn't buying it.
It should have been Issa Rae. Jonah Hill should have been with. I would have actually believed that.
First of all, it shouldn't have been white and black.
Yeah,
it probably should have been something like
Mexican
and Indian.
Yeah, I could have saw that.
But you know what I'm saying? It should definitely be something that like come on now, black and white like.
It had some funny moments where I chuckled, but the majority of it, it was like it tried too hard.
It absolutely tried way too hard, dog. So I'm gonna say this. First of all, salute to Martin and Will. They back.
I actually call it a bad boy for life.
Oh wait, we already did that. Oh okay. Well,
we're gonna do it again.
Whatever. Yeah, I guess.
I don't know why they called Bad Boy 3 Bad Boy for Life, but whatever.
Whatever. What else do I got? We got Please Protect Friday. I don't want to see no damn. No.
As long as Ice Cube's alive, he better not do no damn remake of Friday. Let Friday After Next be the last time we ever see Friday.
Yeah. What else we got? Please stay away from Love Jones. We don't need an updated Love Jones. No. And for the love of God, I swear to God, if there is a remake of Belly.
Well, no.
No. Oh, no. Yeah.
What happened to your chair? There is powerful niggardry at work here.
No. There's too much information. Too much information for grown ass niggas to be out here talking about let's go to Africa. Where?
Africa. And on that note, this is episode 289 of the most consistent podcast in the area. Theological.
Give me a hell yeah.
Always follow us on Twitter.
Me on Twitter.
Bab, you can follow me, Mr. Busby, at Mr. Busby for lowercase 08. You can follow us on Twitter at TheologicalSP. You can always follow us on the Instagram at TheologicalSense. And, of course, on the Facebook. And, of course, on the YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe. You know the deal. Yes, sir.
Give me a hell yeah.
And on all social media, you can find me at JC No Finance. I did something on Twitter.
What'd you do?
And it wasn't for what you think.
Hmm.
I went Twitter blue. I want to post longer videos. But I need, in order to do that, you need the blue check.
I guess, man. $11.
Yeah, I wanted to edit my shit the way it was supposed to be. All I'm saying is I didn't do it for the blue check. I did it for all the benefits that came with it. The blue check came with it. But like I've been saying, I've been consistent. I told y'all I had $9.99 on tap for Twitter whenever the time came. I'm here.
It's $11, but I thought it was $11.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the point was I had money stashed up for Twitter.
Oh yeah, Twitter went down for like a good period on Thursday.
And Facebook always goes down, and Instagram always goes down.
No, but this time the only people who could have tweeted was like the blue checkmark people. Everyone else had to wait for it to get flagged. Elon,
that's another reason, another benefit. I ain't doing it for the checkmark, but the other day proved that the checkmark does help. But yeah, you can find me on social media, JC No Hunnids on Instagram. My Facebook private, unless I know you. That's how I'm keeping it. Like, subscribe, listen, wherever you can stream us. Appreciate you all.
Of course.
On YouTube, like Busby said, go to the YouTube page. You can watch our brown and black asses.
Yeah.
Like, comment, subscribe, share, enjoy.
I'm high.
Black History Month, bro. I love this shit, man.
I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black.
All that
blickety black, black excellence.
And we out this bitch. Peace.
Peace.